Ancient Babylon had a plethora of gods and goddesses. It worshipped the moon, the sun, and the stars especially, none of which are ever biblical to be worshipped. Heeded for signs and seasons indeed, but not worshipped. That is the very doctrine carried over the flood, found by Shem's grandson and reinvigorated at the Tower of Babel, and even found in the church today. Mystery Babylon. The story is told different ways, but Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod, in Shinar, Babel, who was also his mother in legends. Yep, yuck. Understand, she was a consort or harlot to the gods. This harlot claimed she was the moon goddess of fertility, who hitched a ride on an asteroid. You know, those are only $50 per hour from the moon, so very believable. Not. And then she arrived on Earth. She has many names in many cultures, worshipped as Isis in Egypt, Irene, perhaps in Greece, Diana in Rome. And her statue remains at the Vatican today. Yes. Of course, they call it Mary, but that is the ancient goddess found 500 years before Mary was born in archaeology, in occult temples, worshipped as the ancient goddess. This image is used by the Catholic Church as Mary, yet it remains the ancient goddess, not Mary. She is the harlot of Babylon, and her image in many homes around the world and an entire church system. Why? How could anyone be so deceived? We were told as much as this harlot of Babylon is called out by Daniel, Jeremiah, Revelation, and 2 Esdras, to say the least. Anyone else notice that John the Revelator went to heaven, at least in vision, and failed to mention that heaven had a queen? Well, Enoch doesn't either. And the reason is, heaven has no queen. Not in the Bible, except in rebuke, in false claim, for this harlot of Babylon. How does she survive through all of these ages? Why on earth would people include her, the harlot of Babylon, in their worship? We can follow her track through history, at least in part, well enough to know who she is today. Where does she operate? What is her city in the end times? What are the signs of her worship, which are the opposite of the Bible? So much so, Revelation warns us to come out of her, my people. But the world is drunk with the wine of her fornication or idol worship. It's time to know and understand whom this is, because she is rebuked in the end times by the prophet Ezra, which we will cover in full. Then we track her from Babylon to America. We'll test that. Certainly there are elements, but my friends, that is wrong. We have covered in this series, Will America Disappear?, proving America is losing its power as the second eagle head, while the third and final head devours it from within and rises to worldwide power. That's happening right now, but the harlot remains to the very end. For the identity of her city is not found in America, though as the second head, you will find elements of Babylon the Great there. But one could make such case for many countries around the world. The Bible is not elusive on this. It tells us from where she rules, just as it tells us from where the beast rules, yet so many scholars miss this. We will not. It's time to discover whom Babylon the Great is and its prophesied fall. First, 2 Esdras, then we fully identify her seat of power, and this will enlighten most who have never heard this, yet Scripture has always highlighted this. Babylon the Great will fall. Who is it? Let's expose this now. Welcome to Answers in 2nd Esdras, produced by The God Culture, the most enlightening series on YouTube. So much so, they are back to censoring us again as it began to really take off, and then the faucet was turned off again. As we have experienced before, defying everything social media is about and how it is supposed to operate, supposed to. No surprise there, and no matter, we will continue anyway. With Ezra's insight, we can truly understand the end times, and you will find his visions the origin of much language in Revelation and the New Testament. What is amazing is out of 16 chapters, long chapters, mind you, 2nd Esther spends more than two large ones on Babylon in the very end times. Why? For the same reason, the book of Revelation spends over two chapters of its 20 chapters on this same topic, yet misunderstood and mischaracterized in much of modern scholarship, at least the kind that we've read and heard. They can't figure it out, yet a plain reading, as usual, tells us whom this is very clearly. There are viral videos out there, in fact, which track from Babylon to America. Well produced, yet they begin with the wrong premise, as finding Babylonian elements does not make America, nor any other country, Babylon the Great. Nor can it be multiple countries, nor is it a country. It is not a nation, it is a city. And many cities would fit Babylonian influences, of course. So, we all have Babylonian banking, religions, government, largely. I mean, most of the world looks like Babylon today. This is not some arbitrary city, though. Certainly one in which one can just point to this city or that city is having Babylonian influence. That's everywhere. Unscientific and useless in interpretation. This is specific, very detailed, and really no mystery at all. In the first video, we will cover Ezra's account of Babylon the Great. And in the next, we are gonna roll out a huge video firmly identifying this world final capital. Ezra and John did not spend so much time on this to then have some claim it's a nation and overlook that he said, they said, it's a city. That's what they say. The capital city of the world in the end. The final eagle head, the beast, the harlot, all rule from there. They didn't lay down so much detail to have pieces taken out and wild assumptions inferred to fit agendas either. And whole doctrines of churches that can't seem to read sentences say. The Bible interprets itself often, and a full review proves that's the case here. By the end of these two videos, you will know who Babylon the Great is, where it is, and why it operates from there as its world capital. Open your book of 2nd Esdras, and let's explore the fall of Babylon the Great. Chapter 15, beginning in verse 10. This is how it all ends, and the new beginning starts. One without evil, as it is destroyed. We know the story, and the ending is a happy one. Behold, my people are led as a flock to the slaughter. Would you look at that, leading the lambs to slaughter. That is what most churches are doing today, unknowingly perhaps, but nevertheless, they are doing so. I will not suffer them now to dwell in the land of Egypt. Now, who was in Egypt? Israel was, right? Those in covenant with him is the true definition of that, because it wasn't just bloodline Israel. No, the entire Exodus makes it very clear. The stranger among them is included in all of this. This is a reference to the tribes of Israel, definitely, but also those who are among them, the strangers, the Gentiles. Now, who are scattered in captivity, in a sense, in Babylon and Egypt? This is allegory. Much of the Bible is not. Verse 11. But I will bring them with a mighty hand and a stretched out arm and smite Egypt with plagues as before. Again, not physical Egypt. This is all those nations who hold the ecclesia and lost tribes within, all in covenant. This is very clear. Just go back, read prior to this and after, and even what we're about to cover. And we'll destroy all the land thereof. Egypt shall mourn, and the foundation of it shall be smitten with the plague and punishment that Elohim shall bring upon it. So he does it. You will note this is invoking Egypt and Babylon, and both not real powers today, really. I mean, they're just not. And they still won't be, nor do they need to be. Don't need to manufacture that. It's easy to understand. This is a comparison with the Exodus, really. And this final Exodus will be monumental. But the nations that hold the lost tribes and the stranger among them, the Gentiles, the believers, the ecclesia, those in covenant, that is Egypt and Babylon, in a sense. Though Babylon the Great will be very specific. They that till the ground shall mourn, for their seeds shall fail. No crops. When does that happen? We are in the very end times here. Same as when his people return, as we just saw. If you read Revelation and then 2 Esdras, the similarities will jump out at you. Through the blasting and hail. Yep, that's in Revelation 2. And with a fearful constellation. Wormwood, perhaps? Woe to the world and them that dwell therein. That's the whole earth. Get that. See, this is just rebuking Egypt and it will Babylon and Asia specifically, but this is really to the whole world. That's the context. How do we reconcile this? Well, in the next video, we offer an interactive map tracking Babylon. It is not in the territory of the seat of the Babylonian Empire, nor even where the Tower of Babel stood. No, Babylon is a people, and we will track their migrations to their seat in the end. But you will find them all over the world today, in power, invoking Babylonian mystery religion, for one. That's a fruit. Serving the harlot. That's a fruit. Also her commerce and economy. That's fruit. And we'll locate her and their capital city next as well in the next video. For the sword and their destruction draws near, and one people shall stand up to fight against another, and swords in their hands. Now this is Matthew 24, really. It's origin of sword. For there shall be sedition among men and invading one another. They shall not regard their kings nor princes, and the course of their actions shall stand in their power. Wow. Behold, clouds from the east and from the north and to the south, and they are very horrible to look upon, full of wrath and storm. Just as the dragons of Arabia we covered last week, this is not a physical storm, but a storm of people full of wrath. Essentially, many in which will be demon-possessed, in fact, in the end. They shall smite one upon another, and they shall smite down a great multitude of stars upon the earth. Now, that's interesting. Stars could be angels, as we see in Revelation. You know, the seven stars in his hand are the angels of the seven ecclesias, for instance, right? So we see that symbology, but we're not sure here the context. However, This sounds to us more like an ancient description of nuclear bombs or something similar. Even their own star, see, it kind of sounds like that. And blood shall be from the sword unto the belly, and dung of men unto the camel's hoof. Wait a minute, that is the same language as what is called the Battle of Armageddon from Revelation, which doesn't even take place in Armageddon and shouldn't really be called such, as that is just where the troops gather, but no matter. That's a lot of carnage, and we're talking the very end here. That's the point. That same timestamp exists throughout this passage, and we ain't seen none of this yet. So, no, we are not there yet. We're not at the end yet, but we have entered the final era. We cover the timing in parts 9 through 11 of this series. Watch that for the biblical timing. And there shall be great fearfulness and trembling upon earth. And they that see the wrath shall be afraid, and trembling shall come upon them. And then shall there come great storms from the south and from the north, and another part from the west. And strong winds shall arise from the east, and shall open it. And the cloud which he raised up in wrath, and the star stirred to cause fear. At definitely sounds like wormwood. Toward the east and west wind shall be destroyed. The great and mighty clouds shall be lifted up full of wrath, and the star, that they may make all the earth afraid. Still sounds like nuclear weapons to us. And them that dwell therein, and they shall power out over every high an eminent place, an horrible star. Check out this description. What happens when this horrible star, perhaps nuclear bomb, is detonated, maybe? Let's see. Fire and hail and fleeing swords and many waters, that all fields may be full and all rivers with the abundance of great waters. Sounds like dams bursting and the entire infrastructure falling apart, something that a nuclear blast could certainly do, as well as the fire and the hail and people running, fleeing swords. Remember, Messiah comes next and he will purify the earth, and he'll get rid of all those dams, bridges, all buildings, everything built by man completely, including our churches. These structures do not serve him. And they shall break down the cities and walls, mountains and hills, trees of the wood and grass of the meadows, and their corn. It almost sounds like a massive bomb being detonated indeed. And they shall go steadfastly unto Babylon, and make her afraid. They shall come to her and besiege her. The star and all wrath shall they power out upon her. Then shall the dust and smoke go up unto the heaven, and all they that be about her shall bewail her. Now we'll cover Revelation's account of Babylon the Great's destruction in the next video. This is really the same, and its origin. Verse 45. And they that remain under her shall do service unto them that have put her in fear. All right, so Messiah is not there yet. Okay, he hasn't shown up yet. This destruction's already happening, but this won't be a complete destruction. He will be the one to completely destroy it and all spirits and even angels, for that matter, who are evil. That is the new normal. We are even being told as a mantra, by the way, not just with COVID, but the whole war on terror and scare of terrorism. The world is now driven by fear. The media is full of it. They're fear mongers almost incessantly around the clock. And that, my friends, is the opposite of love. And you, Asia, that are partaker of the hope of Babylon. Or not Babylon, the hope of Babylon, which is why they're called Babylon. We'll see. And are the glory of her person. See, wait a minute. In Bible times, Asia used very specifically as the Middle East, especially Israel and surrounding areas. Turkey was called Asia Minor in Scripture. This area is a partaker in the hope of Babylon. It's not Babylon, not the ancient one. It's the new Babylon that continues her hope. Get that? Not physical Babylon, or what we call the Babylonian Empire. No, that's gone from power and does not rise again. We won't see that, because some are looking to Iraq to say, oh, watch, Babylon's going to rise again. No, that's not going to happen, and that's not what this says. These are a people from Babylon, and their sympathizers who carry their hopes, their dreams, their aims, their visions, which is of the occult. What happened at Babel, for instance, the origin of this name? The world united against Yahuwah. And that is exactly what this city will come to lead for the entire earth. That is its purpose. This says its location, though, is in Asia, or really the near Middle East, really not Babylon or modern Iraq, which is inconsequential, really, and not invoked in these passages in any sense. We must follow this people through history, and we will, because among the Babylonians was a cult that has continued through the ages, which wishes to bring the world back to unity, leading to its destruction. It is not a good unity. Yeah, I know. Everybody's out there saying right now, oh, we all must unite. What, unite under what? Yeah, under the Pope? No, thank you. Under any religion? No, thank you. Under a government? No, thank you. That is not biblical. It is a religion infused with government, in fact, and most especially the harlot who drives what? Its economy, the bankers, and the merchants. That is where her association comes in time and time again. And here she is. Verse 47. Woe be unto you, you wretch, harlot, because you have made yourself like unto her. So they're not the harlot of Babylon, but they are like her. Just as Mystery Babylon is her religion. Just as Babylon the Great is her city, but they are like unto her. Who's her? It is definitely, definitively, the harlot of Babylon, the ancient goddess. Just go to any Catholic church and you can see her image there, so you don't have to guess even what she looks like. It's right there. And have decked your daughters in whoredom, like the harlot of Babylon, that they might please and glory in your lovers. You know, we're calling this today lux or luxury, which, by the way, is short for Lucifer. Just saying. Which have always desired to commit whoredom with you, the governments and merchants, bankers of the world. Notice this harlot is all about goods, all about materialism, and there's a religion behind it. Verse 48. You have followed her that is hated in all her works and inventions. Wow. Now that's a rebuke. Therefore says who? Elohim. Yahuwah hates what this harlot represents in every way. And any church that partakes in her, come out of her. That's what we're going to hear in Revelation. Participate in her works and inventions, and yes, he hates that too. I will send plagues upon you, widowhood, poverty, famine, sword, and pestilence, to waste your houses with destruction and death. And the glory of the power shall be dried up as flour, when the heat shall arise that is sent over you. You shall be weakened as a poor woman with stripes, and as one chastised with wounds, so that the mighty and lovers shall not be able to receive you. Pretty plain. Would I, with jealousy, have so proceeded against you, says Yahuwah, if you had not always slain my chosen? See that? Who does this? Who doesn't in history? since Messiah? The Pharisees, which are modern Israel, and the Catholic Church, the final head of the Eagle Empire, as we have already covered in this series. And this is their capital. Exalting the stroke of your hands and saying over the dead, when you were drunken, set forth the beauty of your countenance. In other words, just as Messiah on the cross, they mock them, those martyrs. The reward of your whoredom shall be in your bosom. Therefore shall you receive recompense. Ooh. Like as you have done unto my chosen, says Yahuwah, even so shall Elohim do unto you, and shall deliver you into mischief. Your children shall die of hunger, and you shall fall through the sword. Your city shall be broken down. Yes, multiple cities all over the world, most of them, in fact, truly operate as Babylon even now. However, there is only one great city, Babylon the Great, which we will locate next. And all yours shall perish with the sword in the field. Now, when does that happen? This is the very end times. That's even called the Battle of Armageddon by many. They that be in the mountains shall die of hunger, and eat their own flesh, and drink their own blood for very hunger of bread, and thirst of water. Ooh, but that is really the same in Revelation. You as unhappy shall come through the sea and receive plagues again, and in the passage they shall rush on the idol city and shall destroy some portion of your land and consume part of your glory, and shall return to Babylon that was destroyed. See, now we see Babylon that was destroyed, but that's not this Babylon being discussed, the new Babylon. Remember the dragons of Arabia. This is a reference to them, terrorists who consume part of Babylon the Great. They come, they attack, and then they return to old Babylon. That's pretty much what it's saying, to Iraq. They do not destroy it, however. Yahusha does that, and when he does, it's for good. And you shall be cast down by them as stubble, and they shall be unto you as fire, and shall consume you and your cities, your land and your mountains, all your woods and your fruitful trees, shall they burn up with fire. Your children shall they carry away captive, and look what you have. They shall spoil it and mar the beauty of your face. Only mar the beauty. This is not a total destruction yet. Let's turn to the next chapter, 16, verse 1. Woe be unto you, Babylon and Asia. Woe be unto you, Egypt and Syria. Woe. Wait a minute. Yes, we know Babylon is gone at this point. The empire, it's gone. In fact, it just referenced terrorists who attack from old Babylon, right? And return to the former Babylon, which is not Babylon anymore. Get that? This is Babylon, the people who have migrated over the ages, which we track next. And they are where? In Asia, the Near Middle East, and then Egypt and Assyria. What does that mean? Well, think about it. Think about a map, and we'll cover it next. Gird up yourselves with clothes of sack and hair. Bewail your children, and be sorry, for your destruction is at hand. A sword is sent upon you, and who may turn it back? A fire is sent among you, and who may quench it? Plagues are sent unto you, and what is he that may drive them away? Who sends these? This is Yahuwah, Yahusha, in the end times. It is Yahusha who destroys Babylon the Great with fire, the final destruction forever. No man can do that. There are no weapons that can do that.
How do we know, though, that this is Yahusha? Well, who is he in 2nd Esdras? In the vision of the eagle? That is just a few chapters earlier. Well, this is invoked now. May any man drive away a hungry lion in the wood? That is Yahusha, the lion who emerges from the wood in earlier chapters, rebukes the final empire, and consumes here and all evil with fire from his mouth. This is firm. Or may anyone quench the fire in stubble when it has begun to burn? That is Yahusha's eternal fire, which cannot be quenched. Yes, we can quench man's fires, but not Yahusha's. May one turn again the arrow that is shot of a strong archer. And it'll even tell you that that is the right hand who is the archer, and that is Yahusha as well. The mighty Yahuwah sends the plagues, see? And who is he that can drive them away? No one. A fire shall go forth from his wrath, and who is he that may quench it? No one. He shall cast lightnings, and who shall not fear? All shall fear. He shall thunder, and who shall not be afraid? All shall be afraid. Yahuwah shall threaten, and who shall not be utterly beaten to powder at his presence? No man, not even their spirits, nor angel, will withstand Yahusha's eternal fire. They will be ash powder. The earth quakes, and the foundations thereof. The sea arises up with waves from the deep. This is when every isle is moved from its place in Revelation. It is the same. And the waves of it are troubled, and the fish thereof also before Yahuwah, and before the glory of his power. So no, he doesn't flood the earth. No, he doesn't flood the entire earth. That doesn't happen. He made that promise that he would not, and he will not. That is not how the earth is destroyed in this account. For strong is his right hand, that's Yahusha, the right hand of the Father, that bends the bow. His arrows that he shoots are sharp, and shall not miss when they begin to be shot into the ends of the world, the whole earth. This is the very end. Our new beginning starts next. Behold, the plagues are sent, and shall not return again until they come upon the earth. Just like his word, it doesn't return to him void. The fire is kindled and shall not be put out till it consume, get this, the foundation of the earth. The foundation. Yes, all of it, as the earth is made new by this eternal fire. Like as an arrow which is shot of a mighty archer returns not backward. Even so, the plagues that shall be sent upon earth shall not return again. No, that's not COVID. It's far worse. Yahuwah is far more effective in judgment. The beginning of sorrows. Wait, Messiah quoted that too, Matthew 24. And great mournings. The beginning of famine and great death, the beginning of wars and the powers shall stand in fear. The beginning of evils. What shall I do when these evils shall come? Behold, famine and plague, tribulation and anguish are sent as scourges for amendment. This is 400 BC, before Messiah was born. Making the world right again, cleansing it from evil, essentially. But for all these things, they shall not turn from their wickedness, nor be always mindful of the scourges. Behold, victuals shall be so good cheap upon earth. Oh, that's Revelation language indeed. Even gold and silver will lose their value, and people will cast them into the streets, for that matter. Some would even say that we are close in this age because victuals have become so cheap today through the Walmarts of the world, etc. Perhaps. That they shall think themselves to be in good case, and even then shall evils grow upon earth, sword, famine, and great confusion. You think it's bad now? It's going to be far worse. See, we see this today in part, yes, the way of Babylon, indeed. They try to program us on how great our cities are. Yes, mine is better than yours, right? Why? Well, because it's got a pretty bridge or a tall building that, well, of course, I don't have any ownership whatsoever, but it's pretty and it's in my skyline. Well, no, it's not my skyline. In fact, it's not really even my house, right? I mean, most people have mortgages, so not even. But anyway, all meaningless. Or it has a nice view of the ocean or mountains, certainly nice to see, but meaningless in this regard. They do it in our high schools and even colleges. We're the best. This is the best education. This is the best institution. No, you are not. Everyone cannot be. That is impossible. You know, we pay them to be programmed really nice by their propaganda, because that's what they're doing. The same will be said in the end. The world will glory in the incredible city, its capital, and glorious it shall be. It will revel in its goods and merchandise. And this is not an uncommon concept, even today, in the cities within where we live. And it will die in such worship of Mammon and the harlot of Babylon, because that's part of her whole system. For many of them that dwell upon earth shall perish of famine, and the other that escape the hunger shall the sword destroy. And the death shall be cast out as dung, and there shall be no man to comfort them. For the earth shall be wasted, all of it, and the cities shall be cast down. There shall be no man left to till the earth and to sow it. The trees shall give fruit, and who shall gather them? The grapes shall ripe, and who shall tread them? For all places shall be desolate of men, so that one man shall desire to see another and to hear his voice. For of a city there shall be 10 left, and 2 of the field, which shall hide themselves in the thick groves and in the clefts of rocks. Exact language from Revelation there. This is the end. As in an orchard of olives, upon every tree there are left 3 or 4 olives. That's all that's left. Or when as a vineyard is gathered, there are left some clusters of them that diligently seek through the vineyard. That's all that's left. Even so, in those days there shall be 3 or 4 left by them that search their houses with the sword. And the earth shall be laid waste. And the fields thereof shall wax old, and her ways and all her paths shall grow full of thorns, because no man shall travail there through. And here's the ending. Verse 33, the virgins shall mourn having no bridegrooms. The women shall mourn having no husbands. Their daughters shall mourn having no helpers. In the wars shall their bridegrooms be destroyed, and their husbands shall perish of famine. Wars and rumors of wars indeed. Now we will put this together with Revelation in the next video, where we will locate this city, the world capital, rising right now. Where is it? Who is it? This is Babylon the Great, a city, a world capital. It is where the harlot of Babylon operates from, and she represents material ways and goods, world trade of sort, especially luxury goods. But also she is a religion, Mystery Babylon. We can track her through the ages, and we will do this early in the next video with an incredible interactive map. This will reveal her and where she operates. However, is it not amazing how Second Esdras, written long before the Book of Revelation, before the time of Messiah, has so much of this same language, which becomes its origin? No, Revelation was not written first. That is nonsense. Read the introduction of this book and you will find First and Second Esdras, provable, being used before Messiah was born, at least in the first century B.C. Now, we can prove that, but truly written when it says it was in 400 B.C. We hope everyone has learned at least a little something-something from this teaching. Imagine Ezra knew about the war on terror to come in his age, and he knew about Babylon the Great, the final world capital, rising right now. We have over 350 videos on this channel, many just as profound, with some 50 or so in Tagalog for Filipinos, and now we have, I think, 6 or 5 in Spanish. Don't forget to like and subscribe and click the bell for notifications of new uploads. Join our email list as YouTube fails to notify often, and we will notify you ourselves at thegodculture.com. Just fill in the pop-up there. And friend us on Facebook at The God Culture _Original. We now have 5 books published internationally, being read now in over 100 countries with our new release now available. Rest, the 400-plus page case for Sabbath. Just go to OphirInstitute.com for all the links for all of the books for your area. Thank you for watching. Now always remember, prove all things for yourself. Yah bless to everyone.
In 400 BC, the prophet Ezra predicted, "For my son Yahusha shall be revealed with those that be with him, and they that remain shall rejoice within 400 years." Essentially, 0 BC, the era Messiah was born, and by his very name, in exactness. "After these years shall my son Messiah die, and all men that have life." The origin of John 3:16. "And the time shall be when these things shall come to pass, and the signs shall happen which I showed you before. And then shall my son be declared, whom you saw as a man ascending." Even the end times are defined long before the book of Revelation, the Son of Elohim being confessed in the world. After 7 days, the world will be raised up, mass resurrection of those who are asleep, the judgment seat, evil will disappear. The Lion of Yehuda will consume the final empire, consuming his enemies with fire from his mouth. The lost tribes return. Every eye shall see him, handing out crowns and giving palms. The road to salvation is a narrow gate. Few are saved. The Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life are opened in the end. He is not willing that any should perish. The signs of the end times and origin of Matthew 24 in part. These are just some of the many prophecies in the book of 2 Esdras, long before the book of Revelation was conceived. 2 Esdras, written before John's revelation. This is the interpretation of the dream which you saw, and whereby you only are here lightened. For you have forsaken your own way, and applied your diligence unto my law, and sought it. That's Yahuwah speaking to the prophet Ezra. 2 Esdras is dated at least 1st century B.C., as it is used to interpret Habakkuk and blessing of the prince of the congregation who is Messiah. This includes a radiocarbon dating testing as well of one fragment from 120 to 5 B.C. We cover this in the introduction. This book includes 1st Esdras as well, which is also dated to the 1st century B.C., when one examines what is called in fraud the Proto-Esther fragments from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which do not remotely fit Esther, but are a match to 1st Esdras. We cover this in the introduction of this book, as well as on our YouTube videos on Esther in the original canon series. 2nd Esdras was quoted by Messiah according to the original authorized 1611 King James Version. Matthew 23, 37 and 38 is a direct quote from 2nd Esdras, which is anchored right there in the margin note as the origin of Messiah's words. For Esdras is 2nd Esdras, which we explain in the introduction. Yes, he quoted 2nd Esdras multiple times. When accurately dated, 2nd Esdras proves the origin of significant doctrine in the New Testament. We cover many such instances in the introduction. There is a reason why these two books remain in some Bible canons to this day. They test as inspired scripture. Test them for yourself. Get your copy now, free in ebook. Again, this content is free.
If you would like it in print, it is available on Amazon internationally and Shopee Philippines. Just go to 2esdras.org. Download the ebook, and the links are there for your area.